tu sahanau bhunaktu sahavīryam karavāvahai tejasvinavadhitamastu mā vidyavishāvahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 40. Srila Prabhupada adds, apparently Prajapati Daksha did not know the final decision of the Shastras, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.41. Devarshi bhutapta nrinam puitrinam nakinkara nayam Rini Charajan Sarvatmanaya Sharanam Sharanyam Gatomukundam Parihritya Kartam. Everyone is indebted to the demigods, to living entities in general, to his family, to the Pitas, and so on. But if one fully surrenders to Krishna, Mukunda, who can give one liberation, even when one performs no yajnas, one is freed from all debts. Even if one does not repay his debts, he is free from all debts if he renounces the material world for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those lotus feet are the shelter of everyone. This is the verdict of the scriptures, Shastra. Therefore, Nar Muni was completely right in instructing the sons of Prajapati Daksha to renounce the material world immediately and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, Prajapati Daksha, the father of the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, did not understand the great service rendered by Narad Muni. Daksha therefore addressed him as Papa, the personality of sinful activities, and Asadhu, a non-saintly person. Since Narad Muni was a great saint and Vaishnava, he tolerated all such accusations from Prajapati Daksha. Right, so he's just tolerating, because he understands he's attached and this will happen. You know, because there's this conflict of interest between the actual purpose of the universe and what we think it's for. Right? Prajapati Daksha continued, thus committing violence against other living entities and yet claiming to be an associate of Lord Vishnu, you are defaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You needlessly create a mentality of renunciation in innocent boys, and therefore you are shameless and devoid of compassion. How could you travel with the personal associates of the Supreme Lord? Right? Because Daksha worshipped the Supreme Lord and got the benedictions to have all kinds of nice children and that. Mm-hmm. So then he's thinking, you know, he's associated with the Lord, so how is it Narad Muni's associate? Mm-hmm. Srila Prabhupada comments, Karmis, fruit of workers, think that one should fully enjoy his present life in this material world and also perform some pious activities to be promoted to higher planetary systems for further enjoyment in the next life. A yogi, however, especially a bhakti yogi, is callous to the opinions of this material world. He is not interested in traveling to the higher planetary systems of the demigods to enjoy a long life in an advanced materialistic civilization. Since Prajapati Daksha was a karmi, he could not appreciate the great service Narad Muni had rendered his 11,000 sons. Instead, he accused Narad Muni of being sinful and charged that because Narad Muni was associated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord would also be defamed. Thus, Daksha criticized that Narad Muni was an offender to the Lord, although he was known as an associate of the Lord. Prajapati Daksha continued, all the devotees of the Lord, but you are very kind to the conditioned souls and are eager to benefit others. Although you wear the dress of a devotee, you create enmity with people who are not your enemies. Or you break friendship and create enmity between friends. Are you not ashamed of posing as a devotee while performing these abominable actions? Srila Prabhupada comments. Right? So others are very nice in their dealings, but he's also just as nice. The point is, it's just sometimes if they with someone like him, they're always very nice. because he's not interested in Krishna consciousness, so all you can do is be nice. It's like this. If you're nice, then, and people like you, then at least they're appreciative of a devotee. You know, so in that way, then that's a benefit for them. But if there's an opportunity to actually give real knowledge, then you do.
So we try to work with both this principle at the same time, what we talked about last class, that we inevitably we will upset someone.
There's no question of not upset. We upset ourselves, and we're the center of the universe. So I mean, it's like how we're not going to upset others.
So when that happens, it's just keep on trucking.
What else do you do?
Exactly.
It means you figure out if there's something that you can rectify, you do that. But the point is the material world giving bad results is what it's for.
We forget that.
Yeah, you know, it's like the garbage dump is meant to. Meant to compost things
and send.
Yeah, that's what it's for. Right, so all the smells over there. So that's the whole point. Yes. All the smell in the cosmos is over here. Right, you know. Like that. Yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narad Muni in the disciplic succession. Through the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to train young people to become devotees and return home back to Godhead by following rigid regulative principles. But our service is appreciated neither in India nor abroad in the Western countries, where we are endeavoring to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. In India, the caste Brahmins have become enemies of the Krishna consciousness movement because we elevate foreigners, who are supposed to be Mlechas and Yavanas, to the position of Brahmins. In the West also, the parents of the young people who join this movement have also become enemies, right? Because they're taking it they're supposed to be, and the parents are also thinking they're supposed to be. Right? You know, so. Yes, yes. We have no business creating enemies, but the process is such that non-devotees will always be inimical towards us. Nevertheless, just like kids, do they ever really like dentists or doctors? No, but, you know, it's just the way it is. Nevertheless, as stated in the Shastras, the devotee should be both tolerant and merciful. Devotees engaged in preaching should be prepared to be accused by ignorant persons, and yet they must be very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls, right? So they'll be accused, but they go on nicely explaining things. Like that, rather than become angry and this and that or something. Hello? Ha, Hare Krishna. Ha ha ha. He? Ah, yeah, final. Erekam. Hey, Sari Choita, Erekam. If one can execute his duty in the disciplic succession of Narad Muni, his service will surely be recognized. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:68-69, Ya idam paramam guhyam madbhakteshvabhi abhidhasyati bhaktim mayi param kritva mam evaishyati asam shaya Nacha tasman manushyeshu kaschin me priya kritama bhavita nacha me tasmad anyaf priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Let us continue preaching the message of Lord Krishna and not be afraid of enemies. Preaching can be difficult, be a difficult, thankless task, But a preacher must follow the orders of the Supreme Lord and be unafraid of materialistic persons. So therefore, one is that seeing all living entities is part and parcel of the Lord, so therefore you're preaching to devotees. It's just a matter of who knows their devotees and who doesn't. And then there's once they become devotees, then you're going to continue that cultivation. Right? Because in devotional service, that still one has to cultivate. So even here we see is discussing these topics could be a very difficult topic in a general assembly. Right? Because still that idea, that conditioning is there of the materialism. Right? We're just so used to the karmi or jnana that there's always going to be something. So that mixed devotional service, now how to engage it, that's one thing, but then if we think it's, you know, engaging it in mixed devotional service is fine. Mm-hmm. No, it's not fine, but it's just like chanting offensively is bad. But there's no alternative, so we chant offensively, right? Until we come to the, by chanting offensively, we come to the clearing stage. And then from that, then we come to the pure stage. So the same way is karma and jnana is never good, but if we, since that's our conditioning, we have no alternative. Therefore, we engage, you know, karma, Mr. Bhakti, you know, does that make sense? Yeah, yeah. Or jnana, Mr. Bhakti in the Lord's service. And that's how we get elevated. Right. But if we make it, no, this is standard, this is good, this is nice, then we've missed the point. It'll be slow.
Yeah.
It means it'll always work, but it's just a matter of how quickly. So it can work quicker, or it can work a little slower, as you please. Yes?
All these effects that are described here, people being the way that Prabhupada is describing that a preacher should behave, like not worry about these things, and just—it seems like this is going against the nature of a woman.
It's going against the nature of a woman.
Like a woman doesn't want, is not going to want to, is going to be less desiring of upsetting someone. And,
and that's why she doesn't talk to her husband for 3 days. And that's why everything he does, she points out the weakness in it.
Yeah, but there's familiarity in that. Whereas going up with strangers, doing this kind of thing, strangers.
It just, do you see them in connection to Krishna or not?
Yeah, but you still don't want to be in a position where somebody's upset.
And why not?
Angry at
and why not?
It affects community and shining.
But it's our own consideration. But it's not about the consideration of Krishna's feminine energy and its connection to the Lord. You understand? See, there's the nature of the energy itself and seeing it connected to Krishna. And then there's the part of it that we have ourselves and how we don't want to be affected. You understand? So the point is we find whatever situation that we're comfortable in. That's why the point is you speak to whoever's in your circle of influence or circle of environment. So the point is if the feminine nature is there and the shyness and all those things, that circle will be a smaller, it'll be more limited. So therefore, it's only within that you're speaking. This idea is that, you know, the girl just goes out and, you know, like that, that's going to be very rare. That's not necessary. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, girl has her scene, and so within that scene, then she. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Personally, that's what I've done. I just wanted to hear you.
Yeah. So that's it. Because that's all. So it's just a matter of how big or small their circle is. Someone's more shy, it's smaller. Someone's less shy, it's bigger. So point is, but it's still within that. Men are going outside that.
Yeah.
So you know that works for them. You know, it's just like it, how you say? You know, down at the office, he's the big guy, and at home, he's
not so big.
Not so big. So, so it works the other way for that. So outside, the women tend to be more shy, and inside they're not. So the men, it's the other way around. So that's how it matches.
And if it's the opposite,
then it's not a man? Or? I've seen the opposite. Maybe they didn't go to Gurukul.
For sure.
For sure, yeah. So, therefore, you know, so it just means the women are behaving nicely, doing their duties, so therefore it becomes confident, like he's went at home with his mom. Because if the mom is, if the man's too confident at home, and that, but not outside, just means that, you know, the women make him feel comfortable. No, moms are moms. It's supposed to be. They're supposed to get other training also. Yeah. Or you have, what do you call it? They're very attached to women. So when they're around women, then they're very inspired. So the whole point is are they somebody you respect or not? All right, Bay, what's going on today? Haribo? No, I have class now. Yes. Okay, thank you. How do you go? Prajapati Doctor continued, if you think that simply awakening the sense of renunciation will detach from the mature world, I must say that unless full knowledge is awakened, simply changing dresses as you have done cannot possibly bring detachment. Right? So which is a good point. Now, all the points that Daksha makes are correct, but unfortunately they're not necessarily the conclusion of the Shastra. Right? Because he's giving this knowledge because they have that. He is giving the complete renunciation. Daksha can't do that. He only knows the path of karma, so he can send his sons for brahmachari training. Mm-hmm. And then after that, then you know, how to live as a grihastha. Then vanapasa, then finally maybe sannyas. He can understand that, because the path of karma, they do that also very nicely. But the actual how renunciation comes, that he doesn't know. Point is you follow all the rules nicely, then there's going to be a full exposure of the engagement of the senses. So therefore, as you get older, then, you know, he's kind of been there, done that. So it will come. But someone like Narad Muni can introduce that at a younger point if there's something that you can work with, a spark. So therefore, he can create. Daksha can't. So Daksha's correct on one level, but he's not correct on the highest level. Srila Prabhupada comments, Prajapati Daksha was correct in stating that changing one's dress cannot detach one from this mature world. The sannyasis of Kali Yuga who change their robes from white to saffron and then think they can do whatever they like are more abominable than materialistic grihasthas. This is not recommended anywhere. Prajapati Daksha was right in pointing out this defect, but he did not know that Narad Muni had aroused the spirit of renunciation in the Haryashvas and Savalashvas through full knowledge. Right, full knowledge means Krishna consciousness. He means full knowledge gained by experience of world apara vidya by practicing it. Right, so that's by practice. The other one is the realization. So that can come by associates. There's no time limit on that. The other one, then there's time. Means if you're dealing with apara vidya, it requires time. Right, because you have to do it for so much time that you get familiar with the words, concepts, everything.
It's the skill.
Yeah, because that's the skill. Yeah, but Krishna consciousness that can take as little as a moment. You know. So that's the whole point, is he doesn't understand this. He's thinking that there is only the process of karma. So renunciation is there in the process of karma, but at the end of life. Such enlightened renunciation is desirable. One should enter the renounced order with full knowledge, jnana vairagya, For the perfection of life is possible for one who renounces this material world in that way. Yeah, so Gyanavairagya, full knowledge, right? Yeah. So that's Krishna consciousness. Prajapati Daksha continued, material enjoyment is indeed the cause of all unhappiness, but one cannot give it up unless one has personally experienced how much suffering it is. Therefore, one should be allowed to remain in so-called material enjoyment while simultaneously advancing in knowledge to experience the misery of this false material happiness. Then, without help from others, one will find material enjoyment detestable. Those whose minds are changed by others do not become as renounced as those who have personal experience. Right? Mm-hmm. So again, you know, these are correct aspects. Mm-hmm. But the point is he doesn't understand devotional service and association, how that speeds this process up. Yeah. So he's on the slow path. Mm-hmm. So for the slow path, he's correct. Yeah. And it applies in the fast path. It just means, you know, not quicker than how much quick the fast path is working.
Yeah.
Yes.
Our next devotional service is still a fast path.
Yes, still the fast path.
But we add something new to it anyway?
It's just we slow it down. In other words, it can be as quick as a moment. And we slow it down a little bit more than a moment. You know. But the point is it can be done in one lifetime. So we're talking about going back to Godhead. What he's talking about is just becoming detached from the material world. That can be done much quicker. So these instructions run, you know, parallel to what we're doing. They apply, but they apply within our context. Just like Hiranyakashipu, when he's discussing Vedanta philosophy about the soul and not being attached to those, you know, the family members who die and all this and that. It all applies very nicely. He's just applying it for the wrong purpose. Yes.
Interesting, you said that all the path, I mean, his path and our path up to the level of liberation looks the same.
Yes, just ours is quicker.
Yeah, but what about the intent?
That's what makes the difference in where you go.
So from the outer, from the physical part, it's the same?
The consciousness is different. But because the consciousness is different, our going through that is much quicker. While for the non-devotees, it's much slower. But if they add bhakti, even their path will be quicker. But not as quick as us. You know?
Srila Prabhupada comments, according to Daksha's philosophy, one should become implicated in material enjoyment so that after experiencing the distress of such enjoyment, one will automatically renounce. Right? So he's seeing from a pious point, knows that it's all maya, but his whole point is no, but you have to go through this maya. So you see this, you don't... For us, this will be more of a strange position because we're not used to dealing with pious people. But if you're dealing with people who are pious, who follow all the Vedic injunctions, they'll be more inclined towards this or more inclined towards the path of, you know, jnana or liberation. You know, our problem generally comes with not accepting authority and just whimsically acting, you know, based on sense gratification. So we generally deal with that, but this is a real position, and you see it. It's
this is the position of dharma, artha, kama.
Yes, like that.
And our position is more of karma, artha, kama, artha, kama.
So-called karma, and kind of some artha, and then a more kind of so-called karma, and then yeah, ours is basically just, you know, animal life to various degrees of or lack of sophistication. Like that. That's basically what we're dealing with. You know, I mean, the animals are into it. You know, they're dogs are. They identify with being a dog. You know, so they're not. They're not sitting around feeling bad.
No.
Material nature, however, is so strong that although a man suffers at every step, he will not cease his attempts to enjoy. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhajaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45.
under the circumstances unless one gets the association of a devotee like Narad Muni, or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. Right? So this means only if you're cultivating that knowledge in association, then this may have some meaning.
Yes.
But the point is material association won't actually get it. So that's why one stays in the cycle of samsara. So it's only actually the Vaishnavas can invoke this. Others will invoke temporarily, and maybe if you're pious enough, that temporary is long enough to get you through this body, so you can function in that renounced position. Right? But generally they start late, so then there's less to be attached to. But the problem is starting late also, then it's harder to be unattached. Right? So one suffered, but it doesn't mean you give up the desire. So it's only by association with the devotees that one can actually become detached in this world.
Which makes it ironic, the situation.
Yes. Yes. Because the thing is, he's staying at this point, but this is where actually non-devotees can't do what he's talking about. In theory, that's what it is. And because of that, that's why then they commit themselves to their enjoyment and everything, because they think this is the path. But at least then they're following a path given by the Supreme.
So it's a form.
Yeah. Yeah. But in reality, then it doesn't. They don't do so well.
Permission and method of duty.
Yes.
When we speak about association with devotees, especially about renunciation, so should we go through this more inspired for that?
Means you're going to develop qualities like those who you associate with.
On which level? The social level.
Any level. Means what's your reason for associating with them? I wondered that myself. Yeah. Why don't we just stay inside
actually,
all day? Like
no, that? You mentioned it.
So you're thinking that those, what do you call it? Those Christian guys who lived in a cave and they had that little elevator thing that would lower things down, then they're doing quite okay.
Pretty good, sweet deal.
Yeah. Yeah, the idea is that you're associating based on what are the qualities of attraction. You know, someone it's their renunciation or their knowledge or their, you know, how you say proper Vaishnava etiquette or their appreciation of prasad or, you know what I'm saying. So that's where you associate, and so that's where the benefit you gain. So that's. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Like, in connection to what Daksha spoke, generally people who are following the path of enjoyment in connection to the Shastras, then later on, this spirit of detachment, the Tyaga part is there. Like,
it means if are they following it fully? Is it a matter of, no, I'm going to go through this. My plan in life is to get to the sannyas platform. I have material desires. I'll deal with those now, and I understand the maya. And then you'll get to the point of vanaprastha and sannyas. Are they doing that? Or is it just a matter of, yes, now is the time to enjoy. Later is time for renunciation. So therefore, when you go and visit their house, there they are sitting in the corner with their, you know, japa and their Bhagavad Gita, but it's in their house. You know, so they have one eye on the Gita and one eye on what their son's doing, you know, selling the saris.
That's the very reason why in Kali Yuga this
path
is like karma sannyasa.
It means that's why in Kali Yuga then the focus is on bhakti. Because to follow the path of karma and become renounced, it's going to be very difficult. And even they do become renounced, but still, what's the point? Because it's not connected to the Lord, then what real benefit they'll get? You know what I'm saying? Connected to the Lord in devotion. Daksha connects it to the Lord, therefore it's elevating. So he'll get the best effect on the pious platform. But it's not in devotion. It's not a devotion to Lord Vishnu that he's being pious. He's theistic, so he accepts Lord Vishnu, but it's not necessarily devotion.
Is that?
Yeah.
when you speak about renunciation and knowledge, they are very much connected.
Yes, the two go together. They're a pair.
Yes.
So knowledge and renunciation are a pair. Mm-hmm. Like beauty and fame are a pair, and wealth and power are a pair.
So in order to develop the other one, you need to work on... In order to develop detachment, you need to work on knowledge.
Yes, but real knowledge, the symptom is humility.
Yes.
Like that. So that means is that the characters being... When we're developing knowledge, we're developing character. That's why in the Vedic system... is you don't have education without character development. Just as ideas that, we're just going to school for learning the skills, and then that where are they learning the character? You can say at home, but father's busy, mother's busy, who's focusing, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Even the kid stays home all day.
Yes.
Okay? I mean, so they go to school, and then after that, they're home all day. Mother's not doing other things? She's either busy around the house, or busy with her friends, or busy with her career. Right?
Yes.
And then father's going to be out, so everyone gets up in the morning, they're doing whatever they're doing, and then going out. So there may be, for devotees, some sadhana and a few things like that. So that's nice. That's good.
Yes.
But then, from breakfast until the evening time, then what happens?
TV.
Yeah, TV or something.
Yes.
But in the Vedic system, there's somebody whose their business is to teach you the knowledge and the character all the way through. You know what I'm saying? So, say what we like, is the parents, their business is they'll put in, let's say, 6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking, you know...
Serious.
Huh?
Serious.
Yeah, serious parents here. The 6 hours a day, you know, seeing to the proper character development of the child.
Yes.
But teachers in the Vedic educational system is 18 hours a day.
Yes.
So therefore, who will have more influence? So 6 hours is better than, you know, no hours.
Yes.
But 18 is better than six.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why the Vedic system has that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as long as the child can't really function on their own, then the parents are putting in, you know, depending 18 on a good day, up to 24 on less of a good day, you know, the younger they are. But the point is that then, you know, so the basis of that character training will be there. But the detail of it, actually, parents can't do. Say what they like. Where's the time? You know what I'm saying? They'll talk all day, but where is the time?
So what about the girls then?
Girls do, they're doing all the stuff that the mom does. You think the mom's going to sit there and wash dishes and the girl's going to sit in the next room on Facebook? No.
No Facebook though.
Huh? Yeah. You might have the mom on Facebook and the girl washing the dishes, but yeah, you know, whether that will be, you know, how effective that will be in the long run. But the point is the girl, then whatever the mom's mood and character is, that's what the daughter will develop. You know? So that can either be a good thing. You can either be confident or not so confident, depending upon your analysis of the particular situation. Yes, Facebook is a problem. Under the circumstances, lest one gets the association of a devotee like Narad Muni or his servant in the disciplic succession, one's dormant spirit of renunciation cannot be awakened. So it's not that it may be or sometimes, it just cannot. Because for someone who doesn't contact devotional service, the spirit of renunciation may be a temporary thing. You know, it may be for a portion of this life, it may be for many lives, or thousands of lives. But at some point, it's going to be given up and one will go back into karma. That's just how samsara works. You know, part of the time they'll be impious, and part of the time pious, sometimes attached, sometimes renounced. So it's always going to go in a circle. So without it, they cannot be awakened. So in other words, the renunciation that's awoken in the material world is a way to enjoy through renunciation. Right? I'm not enjoying by engaging the senses, so I'll enjoy by not engaging the senses. So the actual point of giving up and connecting to Krishna, and that is engaging the senses in his service, that doesn't, that's not awoken. That doesn't come up. No, he's not interested. He could be.
Yes, there's a possibility.
Yeah, very much possibility. But, you know, especially previous birth. But, you know, that didn't work out. So now, you know, he's got another shot at this birth. But because of those offenses to the Vaishnavas, that's the, what's slowing him down. That's why he's not interested or gets distracted.
Yeah. Because he's still doing offense.
Yes, and he's, and as we see, he's still carrying on. Right? You know, so yes. That, you know, that fragrance of an offense wasn't enough, right? You know, he needs to build on. Yes, yes, build on. One needs the blessings of a devotee like Narad Muni. Then one can renounce his attachment for the material world, because it's not to the things of the world, it's to the material world itself. That means I'm the controller and enjoyer. So even you detach yourself from the world and you come to renunciation, there's still an attachment to I and mine, that I am the supreme, so therefore I am happy. It is not a fact that because material enjoyment involves so many painful conditions, one will automatically become detached. Okay. The young boys and girls of the Krishna conscious movement have given up the spirit of material enjoyment, not because of practice, but by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants. Right? Because otherwise, what practice they have? But they take seriously or sincerely the instructions of the spiritual master, they're able to do it. So that's the point. They please the spiritual master and Krishna, therefore they have.
And now if we stop to please the spiritual master and Krishna, we go back very easily into
Yes. And then you're on your own on your real what qualifications you actually have. And so then that's where it goes back to wherever you are. You know. The person's big guy in the movement, you know, very refined, sophisticated, developed, expert in this and that. And then they step out of Krishna consciousness, and there they are pumping gasoline again.
Yes,
because the point is all those are developed, those are qualities within Krishna consciousness. Materially, if you want to go back, then you go back to whatever is your karma, and you know, and you can't. It's not as you think. We think we'll go out the way we are now. No, you'll go out to. It's two different things.
Yes.
Right? That's the thing. There are two different paths. And if you want to step off this path, you go back to wherever, you know, whichever Musika Baba you were. You know, big mouse, small mouse, you know, mouse whisker, you know, like that, you know. So.
Rat.
Rat, that's a big one. That's the guy that's, you know, in charge of the block.
There. Yeah, that's one British politician, I think, said. Even if you win the rat race, you're still a rat.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Basically. That's a good one. Prajapati Daksha continued, although I live in household life with my wife and children, I honestly follow the Vedic injunctions by engaging in fruitive activities to enjoy life without sinful reactions. Right? So he follows the rules nicely. Right? So we have to accept he is a pious person. That's why he can say these things,
yes,
you know,
yes.
From his position. But he's wrong because he doesn't know the ultimate conclusion.
So he's not ultimately pious.
Yeah.
Just
so
pious.
Yes, it's seemingly pious because real piety is devotional service. So then what's sad is that when people who aren't pious like this, following the Vedic injunctions, they're just following what is the standard norm of today. And that's considered piety, and then they're getting all the jiggity here, right? You know, that's the. Right? I have performed all kinds of yajnas, including the Devi Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Pitri Yajna, and Nri Yajna. Because these yajnas are called vratas, vows, I am known as a Griha Vrata. Unfortunately, you have given me great displeasure by misguising my sons. For no reason to the path of renunciation, this can be tolerated once, right?
Yes.
You know that was before, but this is the second time. Right? According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Daksha's implication is this: I can give four times the result for whatever causeless enmity you have shown to me, but I will not do that. See my tolerance as a householder. I follow the rules, santanam, on the path of karma. Right. So in other words, he can give so much more trouble to Narad Muni. Right? Like that. Srila Prabhupada adds, Prajapati Daksha wanted to prove that he had been most tolerant in not having said anything when Narad Muni, for no reason, induced his 10,000 innocent sons to adopt the path of renunciation. Sometimes householders are accused of being Grihamedis, for Grihamedis are satisfied with family life without spiritual advancement. Grihasthas, however, are different because although Grihasthas live in householder life with their wives and children, they are eager for spiritual advancement. Wanting to prove that he had been magnanimous to Narad Muni, Prajapati Daksha stressed that when Narada had misled his first sons, Daksha had taken no action. He had been kind and tolerant, right? You know, so he was following what he felt was his duty according to Shastra. He was aggrieved, however, because Narad Muni had misled his sons for a second time. Therefore, he wanted to prove that Narad Muni, although dressed as a sadhu, was not actually a sadhu. He himself, although a grihastha, was a greater sadhu than Narad Muni. Right, so if it had just been one time, okay.
Yes.
You know, that's yes. That you know, it's over. Now we move on.
Yes.
You know? Like I remember, I was in the kitchen with Bhakti Chuhu Maharaj. And there was this one devotee who was coming and wanting to do things, but he would always make such a mess out of the kitchen, and it would make it uncomfortable for everybody else. So then I was saying to Bhakti Shah, why don't you say something? And then his point was, well, he's leaving in 2 days. So the problem is going to be over anyway. So if you say something, he just feels bad and this and that. But he'll have come, done, you know, nice service for Prabhupada, and then, you know, he'll go, and then the problem's solved. You know, so much more cultural tolerance.
Yes.
You know. You know. So he says, yeah. So that's the thing, is that there is that natural built-in tolerance in the Vedic system. But you have to know what's the ultimate point. So here is that, because if he had appreciated, he wouldn't have had to tolerate. It would just be he has attachment, but hey, his kids went back to Godhead. Great. That's what the whole point is, so. Instead of being grumpy that he lost 10,000, he's, you know, how you say, 10,000 times more successful a householder than most householders, right? Others, if they have, you know, one, two kids, go back to God, great. He's got 10,000, you know, so he should be really happy. Invite Narad Muni over more often, right? But, you know, he doesn't. Prajapati Daksha concluded, you have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave towards others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Right? Because what you have a residence, so what's the special thing about a residence for the householder? The security, but
ownership.
Is that, but in this context?
Can perform his
duty?
Possession.
Possession, but possession of what?
Family.
Family. You understand? So that possession of family, that's where he gets the security, that's where he gets all these different things.
Yes.
But it's because the family's there. So the point is he's losing his family, so therefore, and it's my, you know, the house is not a home,
yeah.
Therefore he'll have no place to stay.
Yeah.
You know, because when you have a place to stay, there's that sense of security, sense of this, sense of familiarity.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the grihastha is that all is generated by having the family there, not just he has a house.
Yeah.
But for the renunciate, it's just they have a regular place, and you know that, you know, you can roll up your mat, put it here, and nobody's going to take it, or rats won't eat it, or, you know, stuff like that. So that's their security. So he won't have that, because Daksha is not getting his security in having his family and all that. So Narad Muni's taking away his sense of security, so he's taking away, in his mind, Narad Muni's.
Yeah.
Right? So in one sense, it matches.
Yeah.
though he hasn't really understood it.
Still hasn't gotten the point.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, just like that. Before there was some connection, you know, like that one when I think it's Nachiketas, when he went to the king, because he was a very qualified, you know, brahmachari, he's Brahmin. So the king, seeing this, then wanted him to accept the offering to the Pitris. But the offering was impure. So because he wouldn't accept it, then the king cursed him that he would not have descendants who would offer the pinda. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so it means you're getting in the way of my doing, so no one will do it for you. Does that make sense? And his was, is that I can't accept the offering because it's impure. And you can't see that, so what's the point of having eyes? So you'll go blind. You know, so they would match. Previously they would know more and match the things up.
Yeah. Quality cursing.
Yes, yes. Quality cursing. Srila Prabhupada comments, because Prajapati Daksha was a Grihamedi who wanted to remain in household life, right? So before we're pointing out the nice things about it, in other words, what he's saying is correct, his intent and his understanding is wrong. Yes. So all the points he made about Grihastha life on one platform are correct, but correct in its application within Krishna consciousness. But when you apply it outside of Krishna consciousness, then he actually qualifies himself as a Grihamedi. Because it's all about Grihastha life. It's not actually even about the rules of the Shastra or about the Lord of the rules of the Shastra. Or, you know. He thought that if Narad Muni could not remain in one place, he had to travel all over the world, and that would be a great punishment for him, right? Because he's a Grihamedi. This house is the center for him. So since he's messing up his center point, he wants to mess it up for Narad Muni. Right, so that's the envious nature. So that's why he said he can create so much more problem for him. Right? Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Parivrajakacharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Right, because it has its the side of it's always moving, always changing, and all that. But at the same time, there's no entanglement. You stay in one place, then you know, you get involved in all the things that are going on there. Yeah. If you just come in and that preach and then go, you're just dealt with on that spiritual platform. Yeah. If you stay, then you get all the other stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. Because if he took away his ability to travel, then Narad Muni just wouldn't accept the curse. In the parampara system for Narad Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places for residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I have been cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna conscious movement was started, I have traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year. Because I can't remember what it is. I think probably went around the world 17 times or something in that 11 years. 14 is, yeah. So it's good.
Yeah.
Oh, even not his age, you know. But yeah, definitely at his age, you add more to it. Yeah, true. 80 years old and go around the world like that's tough. And although I am provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task, this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, no, serious hint here, but everyone says, no, you're doing a great job, Prabhupada. Yeah. If my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents. To these young preachers. Then I may sit down conveniently in one place for the work of translation. Right? Because otherwise you need to get a rhythm going and all these things. Things don't change. You just that, and then you can just focus on the things. So that's the thing. The problem is that he could do it. He was translating while he's traveling. how much determination. So if he wasn't, then what he could do? Because
yes.
He wanted to finish Bhagavatam, he wanted to do Mahabharata.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what else he wanted to do. I think Vishnu Purana, Vedanta Sutra. Sorry?
More Bhagavad Gita.
Another Bhagavad Gita. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada wanted to do another Bhagavad Gita.
Once he told that he wanted to include the
commentaries. Ramanujacharya is a commentary. So it just means adding the commentaries. Oh, okay. Yeah, you just expand them. Yes.
So now he's talking about 1974.
I'm not sure what the year would be, but this is 6th canto, so he got up to 10. So it'd be something like that. So he was making it very clear to the point where he's putting it in the purports.
Yeah.
Somebody might read it.
Yes.
Appears not, but everybody knew about it. I remember with Brahmacharya, it was a discussion about that was the idea. But the problem is that the preaching wasn't going on strong enough to maintain the movement. The idea is he's built it up, not just maintain it.
Yes.
You know, there was all those years where we were doing book distribution, and other things, he said, double it. Then it got to a point, now boil the milk. Now it's just keep it at this level of momentum, but now try to improve the quality.
Yes.
If you improve the quality like that, then thing will go on, because that wasn't being done, so he would have to go to do the milk boiling jazz and try to keep it maintained. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued. So it's to sit down one place to translate, not sit down one place because it's more comfortable.
Conveniently.
It means without inconvenience. Yeah. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, since Narad Muni is an approved saintly person, when cursed by Prajapati Daksha, he replied, Tadbadham. Yes, what you have said is good. Like, I accept this curse, because Badham means I accept. Like when the Brahmachari, when he does his vows, then he says Om Badham. Like that. So it's the same. So I accept. He could have cursed Prajapati Daksha in return, but because he is a tolerant, merciful sadhu, he took no action. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura elaborates. Narada accepted the curse. Sadhu Samanta means the saintly tolerate such things. This is the meaning of to the famous phrase Sadhu Vadaha, having good reputation. Etavan Sadhu Vadaha means that he was capable of countering the curse, but he did not because he was saintly. Narada came to give Daksha mercy. When he heard the criticisms of Daksha, why did Narada not leave the place? This was Narada's intention. Controlled by anger, let him criticize a lot. Let him curse. This is the result of anger. When his anger subsides, he will see that I did not criticize him or curse him in return, but tolerated everything. Then he will repent that he has criticized and cursed the devotee of the Lord. Like the Kumaras, when they went to the gates of Vaikuntha, then he will be a suitable field for sowing the seed of bhakti. I will then go and sow the seed of pure bhakti in him. Thinking in this way, Narada remained there for the proper moment. But seeing that Daksha was not repentant, he then left, remembering, oh, how powerful are the remnants of this offense to Shiva. So it's his strategy that, okay, he'll do this, he'll get so upset, but he doesn't respond, then he'll think, okay, who's actually the sadhu here? Because he's claiming, I'm the real sadhu, and Narad Muni is bogus. But then when he comes to the point, gets angry, curses and all these things, then he will see that actually, no, Narad Muni is the real sadhu, and he's the one. So he's thinking that will happen like it happened with the Kumaras. But it didn't happen. So then he left and thought, oh, the remnants of the curse, Lord, are the offenses to Lord Shiva are still maintaining, so he's not letting go.
Is all this happening with the goat head?
Is all this happening with?
His goat head?
With his goat head. And
What if it was?
I'm just trying to imagine it in my head, and I want to add the details.
So do you think Narad Muni would have responded differently if he hadn't had a goat head?
No, just for my
he wouldn't bother.
He
wouldn't have bothered.
Like, how's he talking?
How's he talking? Goats talk all day. They bleed a lot.
Well, I guess Narad Muni can understand that.
No, he's got, it means it's, it, he talks normal. He just... you know, has that little bit of that, what do you call it? That Czech look to him, you know. All he needs is a beret and, you know, Harry Ball, right? You know, you can imagine that, you know, some bohemian place and that, and over in the corner seeing this guy with a goat head and a beret on, you know. He'd be big. Everyone would be over talking to him. Especially if you could play bongos, you know. Then it's like, oh, that
was recite it. Poetry.
Yeah, recite poetry, play the bongos. No, that was last birth. Yeah. He's now taken birth as the son of Prachetas, so no goat head. Yeah, so you don't have to work in the goat head. Don't worry. That makes it easier for... Okay. Yes.
So here, as Narad Muni just saw that there may be some proper moment where he'll identify something related to God.
Yes.
Generally, when like we go out and see people, it's we look.
Yeah, we look.
That is okay.
That's what we do. We look for it, and if it's there, great. And if not, you drop by later.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Because it's just like, remember one life member maker in Calcutta. Then, you know, he would go in and I'm not sure how quickly he would make them into a member, but all I knew is that he would cultivate them in devotional service. So he would come in, hang out, talk, this, that, explain about the movement, and then, you know, then either come back, make a, you know, later, or if they became a member, he would keep dropping in at their office. So he would drop in on their office many, many times a year. Not just once a year for Rath Yatra because it's time to collect money, like the other ones. So because of that, then all of his members, when they came to the temple, they were always very humble, wanted to do service, you know, because they would be chanting, they understand what the mission's about. Like that. So that's the whole point, is he would always just drop in on them. And so then they get comfortable that you're not just there for money. So then they'll be more open to devotional service. So in other words, if you're preaching... So making members is to make a connection. That's not itself technically the preaching.
Yes.
You understand? That's the opening the door for the preaching. Right? And then how you do it and all that is there. So that's what makes it the preaching, because you know, sadhus can go and beg, and you know, we're a spiritual movement, then you go and present all that. So he'll listen, but at the same time, it's actually about giving him Krishna consciousness, exposing him to Krishna consciousness, that's why we're doing it. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, I forget what it was. Who would do that? Because there was this time where this movie came out by somebody who was a life member and actually quite favorable to the movement, called Dum Bada Dum. Yes. Dum Bada Dum. Okay. I didn't know it. Never saw it myself. And so that really gave a bad rep to the movement. You know? And so then, I think he made a lot of money. But
what was the
movie? Somehow or another is that you have all these Westerners who are sadhus and all that, but then, you know, behind closed doors, I think underneath in the basements, they're like, I don't know, smuggling and drugs and, you know, you name it. It's a whole mafia going on. So it's just a front.
It's a very famous song.
Yeah. So this song was so famous that when you'd walk down the street, people would always sing that first little phrase, you know, dum ma da dum. Yeah, they could. Always, wherever you walked. So I think it was Guru Kripa and Jashodananda, or Guru Kripa and Gargamuni, or someone, they got tired of it. So they walked into the guy's office, and before they could say anything, they did a whole song and dance with the whole song, and then, you know, after all that, then sat down and made the guy a member. You know, so, you know, it's like, you know, we're not going to hear it from you. You know. Anyone's going to say it, we're going to say it. You know. So it was, you know, interesting tactic, but that's what I'm saying, is that you just, the point is to make contact and then develop the relationship. Yeah, the devotees were a little bit more innovative in those days. Yeah, or satyagraha, somebody who is somehow or another being really stubborn and annoying, then they would say they'd become a member and they come next week, they wouldn't, and then they'd like this. So at one point he would just sit down in the office and not leave. You know, he won't accept food, won't accept everything. He's fasting until death. You know, so it's either death or you become a life member. So generally, you know, within a few hours they're a life member. But that would be, you know, these guys that just drag you on and harass you. And they're, you know, wealthy and situated. They're just being nonsense. So Gargamuni was good. And he got a lot of respect from the community for that. They considered him, a Marwari. They didn't consider him a Westerner. You know, because he knew all the tricks and everything. Because, you know, that's stuff they would do, right? You know, so. he was good. Okay, Srila Prabhupada adds, following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who preaches the glories of the Lord all over the world or all over the universe should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree, because a preacher cannot live an easygoing life. Indeed, a preacher must face many impediments. Not only is he sometimes cursed, but sometimes he must also suffer personal injury. For example, when Nityananda Prabhu went to preach Krishna consciousness to the two roguish brothers Jagai and Madai, they injured him and made his head bleed. But nevertheless, he tolerantly delivered the two rogues, who became perfect Vaishnavas. This is the duty of a preacher. Lord Jesus Christ even tolerated crucifixion. Therefore, the curse against Narada was not very astonishing, and he tolerated it. Right? So it happens. It's not an uncommon thing. Yes, yes. Because if you're humble only, you can be tolerant. If you're puffed up, how do you be tolerant? Right, you know, like that. So that, and humility comes from actual knowledge. Okay. Oh, there's another chapter. Oh, okay, now I get it. Because I thought we only have a couple of pages of the chapter. I didn't realize it was one more chapter. Okay, chapter 6, the progeny of, the daughters of Daksha. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children, so that Narad Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. The particular of this chapter is taken from Srila Prabhupada's purport to verse 1. Adhyaya Prakashika. The sixth chapter describes the descendants of Daksha's daughters, among whom Tvashta was born to Aditi. As described in this chapter, Prajapati Daksha begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Ashikni. These daughters were given in charity to various persons to increase the population, right? Because he was just going to do it himself. Right? But then, okay, then he'll make qualified daughters who then given to the other great sages because Narad Muni's not bothering them. Yeah. And then we'll get kids that way. Right?
Yeah, 10,000, 1,000.
No, it's probably because he's because otherwise, if there's too many girls, then who are they going to marry? So he's probably got planned who's going to marry who. Because that's why he's expert. He does exactly what he wants. So he wanted, you know, just like he wanted 10,000, it was 10,000. You know, when so 60, there's a reason. Yeah. But, you know, whether it's given or not is another. As described, the sixth chapter describes the descendants of Daksha's daughters, amongst whom Tvashta was born to Aditi. As described in this chapter, Prajapati Daksha begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Ashikni. These daughters were given in charity to various persons to increase the population. Since these offspring of Daksha were women, Narad Muni did not try to lead them towards the renounced order of life.
Thus, the daughters were saved from Narad Muni. Ten of the daughters... Victory.
Yeah.
Yes. Ten of the daughters were given in marriage to Dharmaraj, 13 to Kasyapa Muni, and 27 to the moon god, Chandra. In this way, 50 daughters were distributed, and the other 10 daughters, 4 were given to Kasyapa, and 2 each to Bhuta, Angira, and Krishasva. One should know that it is because of the union of these 60 daughters with various exalted personalities that the entire universe was filled with various kinds of living entities, such as human beings, demigods, demons, beasts, birds, and serpents. Right. So from them, being Prajapatis, all the species of life were produced. Right. Because they're humans on their level. And then from there, then they manifest all the 8,400,000 species. Shloka Anusharanam. Summary verses, verses 1 to 45, the progeny of the daughters of Daksha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear king, therefore, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha, who is known as Prachetasa, begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife Asikni. All the daughters were very affectionate towards their father." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Though Daksha became disgusted with household life, on the order of Brahma, he again took up household life. Because right? Otherwise, then he was ready for sannyasa. It works. See how good it is? Narad Muni's good. Right? You know. Thinking, right? And he was saying it didn't work. You know? Here it is. Thinking that Narad Muni would not give up his hostility and worrying that again his sons would disappear, he bore daughters only. Srila Prabhupada adds, "After the incidents concerning the loss of his many sons, Daksha repented his misunderstanding with Narad Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time, Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children, so that Narad Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. Females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to their good husbands. For a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then, without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns." Right? So that it matches the nature. So when we say the equality, it means the results are equal. But the method is different, because how men do things, how women do things are different. How they appreciate it. So the Vedic system is how everybody gets the same thing, but they have different ways to go about it. Yes?
Is there only in profit? Everybody has something stupid?
No, they don't share. He gets that, that's fully for himself.
Because then there's
it goes the other way. The wife does some stupid, the husband shares in that. And anything good the husband does, the wife shares in that. Yeah, isn't it? So fair, right?
I want equality.
Yeah. What about this person that you were talking about, the rope?
That Narad Muni is asking them, are they willing to share? Yeah, not that they would, but he was thinking they would, but they weren't. Still, it's not the attitude. Right? You know what I'm saying? No? You know. What is it? The poetry, you know, one is willing to become, what is it? A bridge for 500 years, you know, tolerating the sun and the rain and the wind, you know, so that one has that opportunity that the person can walk over them every day. And, right? Okay, so. Yeah. Doesn't mean the ring's going to turn into a bridge. Maybe okay. Buried under the bridge, but you're not necessarily going to become the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
And if the wife does something good, the husband doesn't care?
Okay. If the woman has her own money, whose money is it?
Hers.
If the man has money, whose is it?
Her.
Okay, so does that answer your question? It means she may use her things, you know, for taking care of the family and stuff like that, but that's her call. They can't expect it or demand it. Because they'll naturally do out of relationship and all that. So the whole point is woman does everything based on relationship. Man's doing things as his duty is supposed to be done and all that. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is the man, its duty is supposed to be done, and it remains duty and supposed to be done. You know, going out, going to work, this and that. But for the woman, the duty is, but it's in relationship to the family and all those things. So it's very personal. Does that make sense? So it matches the mood. Yes. An issue question. That's what we're discussing. Is the daughters of Daksha. That's.
So it's like the man can say and keep the horse back to go out and feed him, and then and women they have this propensity that also like to share, like normally in family and they have many children and they have to, but then in the situation that.
Other family or friends or, you know, like that. I mean, there's some relationships there, so it's engaged there. Or the deities, you know, the holy name. Holy name's none different from Krishna, so. Always hanging out with Krishna.
Why
gives
cancer to the? What makes it in the cancer to the social level that they want to socially go out and like in Buddha or something like that? Why?
Because part social is part of the scene. It means, in other words, there's home and then there's social. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like fancy cooking and simple cooking. Nice dressing and simple dressing. So social and being at home. You know, then even in the home, there's home, moving around the home, and then there's, you know, in the room in your sweatpants being grumpy. Right, you know, so there's variety. Does that make sense? That's there, but the point is Krishna always does him. So he's a man, so then, you know, work it out, connect to him. You know what I'm saying? Men are supposed to do their duties, but then the problem is unless they're from a dutiful background where they know these things, then how are they going to know about them or have qualifications to perform on that level of piety without training in Krishna consciousness? Because the training won't do it, and the Krishna consciousness will do it, but it just may take a while for them to figure it out. But the point is in the meantime, if that the degree they're not Krishna conscious, then things may go quite crazy until they do. You know what I'm saying? So generally by the, you know, third marriage, they've kind of gotten down the basics. There's always the desire to benefit whatever you identify with it, but socially it still has to be within a circle that you identify with. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it's not that a group that you don't know. It still is going to be within a circle that you know. And then you try to benefit within that circle. So that's what I mean. You know, socially there's always something going on. You know what I'm saying? Let's say you want to help old people. So, but it's not just any old people. It's certain old people that you know and want to hurt. Help. Not the ones that, you know, hurt you. Those are the ones you're going to avoid. Right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah? Oh, it got 11:30. I was going to say, why don't we go 15 minutes over? Okay.
Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, he gave 10 daughters in charity to Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, 13 to Kasyapa, first 12 and then one more, 27 to the moon god, and 2 each to Angira, Krishasva, and Bhuta. The other 4 daughters were given to Kasyapa. Thus, Kasyapa received 17 daughters in all. So he got 12, then 1, you know, and then he got another 4. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants, who filled all the 3 worlds. The 10 daughters given to Yamaraj were named Bhanu, Lamba, Kakud, Yami, Vishva, Sadhya, Marutvati, Vasu, Muhurta, and Sankalpa. Now hear the names of their sons. O king, a son named Rishabha was born from the womb of Bhanu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyota, who generated all the clouds. From the womb of, because there's Samvarta and the clouds, they're all living entities. Right? So the different kinds of clouds, they're all living entities. They're not just... From the womb of Kakud came the son named Shankata, whose son was named Kikata. From Kikata came the demigods named Durga. 21. From Kikata came many Durgas, who are devatas representing Durga. From Yamini came the son named Svarga, whose son was named Nandi. The sons of, so then he must have been who associated Lord Shiva. The sons of Vishva were the Vishwadevas, who had no progeny. From the womb of Sadhya came the Sadhyas, who had a same name, Arta Siddhi. Right? So the Sadhyas are all the heads of all these different groups of living entities. The 2 sons who took birth from the womb of Marutvati were Marutvan and Jayanta. Jayanta, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudeva, is known as Upendra. The demigods named the Mahurtikas took birth from the womb of Muhurta. These demigods deliver the results of actions to the living entities of their proper respective times. So the Muhurtas, they're all personalities. Because we're just taking all their times, this, that. So we deal with the science in an impersonal way, but actually they're people. And so that's why if they're people, then they have different flavors than the time. Why the morning ones have theirs, the evening ones, what's this, what's that. So all these different, that it's all personal.
Yes.
The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa, and from him lust was born. Because right? There must be some determination. The sons of Vasu were known as the 8 Vasus. Just hear the names, their names from me. Drona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu, and Vibhavastu. Right? So Drona was who became Bhishmadeva. From Abhimati, the wife of the Vasu named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Shoka, Bhaya, and so on. Urjavati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to 3 sons named Saha, Ayush, and Purojava. The wife of Dhruva was known as Dharani, and from her womb various cities took birth. From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons, headed by Tarsha. Dhara, the wife of Vasu, named Agni, gave birth to many sons, headed by Dravinaka. From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came the son named Skanda, Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishaka. Have you ever noticed that cities seem to be alive? Yeah, so which cities they started with, and then, you know, who at the end ended up with Calcutta and Karachi, that's another thing.
Is it called Caesarea
or something? Yeah, I don't know that or whatever. Just, you know,
might they consider a male
Cities? I have that, I'm not sure. Oh, Lankini.
Yeah.
Lankini. Yeah, I'm not exactly who the serving city, maybe you could say, but, you know, they have that song about New York, New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you wouldn't consider it, you would have more of a feeling it's male, right, than female, by the nature of that song.
But the female is standing there.
That's true, but that generally recommends the whole of America. That's also true. I mean, well, that's the city, that's America, and then there's the fields of golden grain. That's the rest of America. I mean, there's Manhattan, and then there's farmland from sea to shining sea. Right?
No.
Yes. Okay. Just confirming. You always have to. How you say? Confirm with authority. You know? Okay, and then Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishakha. From the womb of Sarvari, the wife of the Vasu named Dosha, came the son named Shishumara, who was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so we heard before about the Shishumara. From Angirashi, the wife of the Vasu named Vastu, was born the great architect Vishvakarma. Vishvakarma became the husband of Akriti, from whom the Manu named Chakshusha was born. The sons of Manu were known as the Vishvadevas and Sadyas. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Vishvakarma was the husband of Akriti. Huh? You haven't seen it? Oh, okay. Because you have the Akriti E. Okay, yeah, whichever one you want. Yeah. Who gave birth to Chakshusha Manu. Though Chakshusha was born in Dhruva's lineage, he was also born in this lineage, like Daksha and Vashishta, right? So sometimes they're born in another. They're from one line, but then they end up being born in another line due to some reason. But it's the same personality going on. Yeah. Right? It's not that they forget. So you have that sometimes also. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Usha, the wife of Vivatsu, gave birth to three sons, Yushta, Rochisha, and Atapa. From Atapa came Panchayama, the span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. From Atapa was born Panchayama. There are five yamas, three-hour periods, in a day, which includes dawn and dusk. That leaves night with three yamas, right? So you have the, how you say, three, and then two, right? Does that make sense? Because you have eight in a day, right? Eight times three is 24.
Yes.
Are we with us there?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you're going to have the daytime, you're going to have the nighttime.
Yes.
Then you're going to have the sandhyas.
Yes.
Right? So the sandhyas are, therefore, there's three that are fully day, three that are fully night. Then the sandhyas. The sandhyas are counted as part of the day.
Yes.
That's why when it gets dark, we call it night. And when it starts to get light, we call it day. Even though technically they're half-half.
Yes.
So therefore, yes. Five yamas are day, three yamas are night.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Makes sense? Logical?
Yes.
Okay.
In
this definition where you're using yamas of 3 hours, because 3 hours works as a certain, what do you call it? A group, yeah. Just it works in a time you can relate to it. I think one time when we were in just the Vidyapeet, we had really small classes. I remember I think we were running some of our main classes, like when we did the astronomy and that. We ran them off of one Yama blocks. But worked quite well. So. But it didn't work for many people, so we started. Then we were doing, then like now, the Ardha Yama works very well. So 1.5 hours works very nice. 3 hours, and, you know, only those who are really serious about astrology, then it worked. And otherwise, you know, and for them it was great, because then you discuss, look through the book some, ask some questions. It works really nicely. Yeah, with the time. Yeah. Didn't think about breaks in those days. So we're thinking 1.5 is long. No, that's short.
No ladies in those classes?
Sorry?
Are there no ladies in those classes?
No. They're just brahmacharis. Yeah, no, that's all there was. It's only brahmacharis.
Did you have 3 classes a day?
No, because other ones were, some of them were broken up as half, some of them that, or, you know, or they were Ardha Yamas, and so then some got two period blocks, and, you know, different things like that. But kind of after we ran that for a while, a few of the boys did shift to the other school.
Oh, no reason.
No reason. So. Then we, you know, readjusted the periods. So. Did they come back? No, others came over. Sri Sukadeva, okay, that leaves night with 3 yamas. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to the 10 million rudras, of whom the 11 principal rudras are Raivata, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Vrisha Kapi, Ajaikapat, Ahir, Bradna, Bahurupa, and Mahan. Their associates, the ghosts and goblins, were very fearful, were born of the other wife of Bhuta. Okay. So you got the Rudras and the Bhutas all coming. Yeah. Yeah, so here 10 million Rudras. So when Brahma asked Shiva to expand and all that, so, you know, it didn't work out so good. So. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the Prajapati Angira had 2 wives named Swaha and Sati. The wife named Swada accepted all the Pitas as her son, and Sati accepted the Atharvangirasa Veda as her son. Krishasva had 2 wives named Archish and Dishana. In the wife named Archish, he begot Dhumaketu, and in Dishana, he begot 4 sons named Vedashira, Devala, Vayuna, and Manu. Kasyapa, who is also named Tarksha, had 4 wives, Vinata, Suparna, Kadru, Patangi, and Yamini. Patangi gave birth to many kinds of birds. Yamini gave birth to locusts. Vinata, Suparna, gave birth to Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, and to Anuru, or Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun god. Kadru gave birth to different varieties of serpents. Omaraj Pariket, best of the Bharatas, the constellations named Kritika were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget any children in any of his wives. Mm-hmm. Right. So therefore, his so-called sadhuiness and that then, you know, doesn't always work so well for him. Right. His anger and that then overcomes it. So that's what we're seeing, because Narada Muni didn't, then he regretted that, but not at that time, it was later. You know, so Brahma had to encourage him to continue on in household life.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi ki.